Right, a very good morning to you. Joining me in the studio is Sylvia Kent, who's a freelance columnist author. She contributes to national and regional magazines, online journals. Many of the books have been reprinted and sold in Waterstone, Sainsbury's, WH Smith's. She's also got out a new book at the moment, which is called Balkin and Dagenham from Old Photographs, and which was launched on the 28th of October. She's had 168,000 views so far. Also, she's a writer from The Woman's Writer. She's got 10 books out. Do check her out. And our other guest in the studio is Adventurous Spirits writer Reg Haynes. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
And I did that in time to music as well.
Wonderful.
That was good, wasn't it?
Good. Yeah, very good.
Now, Reg, before we talk to Sylvia, just to say you were born in 1920.
I was born in 1920 and I'm nearly on empty. I'm 94 years old.
It's just fantastic. And we're going to be talking about your book in a while.
Okay.
So just over to Sylvia. It's lovely to see you, Sylvia, because I know we've kind of like missed each other the last couple of weeks.
Yes. Lots happening at the moment.
Yeah.
Not just Christmas, but lots of other things.
Now, great news with the book, Barking and Dagenham from Old Photographs.
Yes.
How are the sales going?
Very well indeed, yes. Sold mainly in East London because it covers that area.
Yep.
But people are buying. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
You know, I've got lots of book signings coming up. This Saturday, I'm at Valence House, 11 o'clock, that's the 29th, and Eastbury House, Mansion, Eastbury Mansion House, Dagenham Library, and other places, so I'm back and forth.
10 books are still going. You did say this is going to be your last book, but I don't believe you.
Oh, it is, really.
No,
I've got other things planned, other things offered, aren't I lucky?
Oh, is it going to be television? Are you going into TV?
Not going, but we're doing filming. So I'll tell you at the next book club about that.
Yep.
That's all being arranged. But our Billericay Readers Group is going very well. More people coming, joining us. About 18 of us now. And Chris Hancock is our organiser, and she does a very good job. We're reading Roddy Doyle's book, The Van, and we're reading Sarah Rayner's book, One Moment, One Morning.
So what's the Roddy Doyle book
Well,
about?
That's just coming over to me, so I've got that to read as well as write. It's very hard to do both. You know, you want to read, you want to write, and it's all the stuff in between. Very, very difficult. You have to be on the ball.
How many books would you say you read a month?
We're given three, but I can only usually manage one.
Yeah.
A book takes a long time to read and absorb.
Yes.
And if I'm reviewing, I want to read every word.
Ooh.
So very often I have to review these books as well. So, you know, quite a lot happening. Yes.
Yeah. I normally have about three on the go with books. I normally do three. I have my Kindle. I like a nice book. I always say to Sylvia, I have a book for the bath. I don't take the Kindle in the bath just in case there's a terrible sort of like electrocution going on. We don't want that.
Oh dear. Yes.
So I'm just going to go over to Reg Haynes. Now you're, as you said, you're a very young man.
Yes, very young.
Sprightly.
As I say, nearly on empty.
So you've got a book called Venturous Spirits.
That's right.
Which is spanning the 20th century. But before we talk about the book, is it something that you always wanted to do when you were growing up? Is it something you always wanted to write a book?
No, it only came to me after I'd had my war wounds in World War II and realised that World War II should never become now World War III.
Yep.
And what can we all do about it? And it's taken me all these years to get round to the feeling that we don't have to go to war if we were all decent to each other.
Yep.
It's as simple as that, and I've written about it, but nobody wants to know. We're all decent to each other, between you and me, for example.
Yep.
But out there, the top people, they're not in this for anti-war.
Yeah. What happened when you, if you're thinking back to those times, how old were you when you actually signed up to go?
In wartime terms, you had no choice. You were called up from any age after you were 18.
Right.
And I was called up when I was 18.
Yeah.
Straight into the army.
Yeah.
And ultimately, your life is entirely up under their command.
Yeah.
And so I finished up in a battle in a. Driving a Sherman tank, and in as much as the Sherman tank was hit by German howitzer blew the tank up, and I managed to get out, but on the other hand, two or three fellows couldn't get out, and one of them was Smudger Smith, who I managed to rescue from the tank, but he lost his legs and he died just after I got him out.
Yeah.
And in as much as these things hit you, nevertheless, after the war, I had friends manage to trace the driver, the gunner, the German gunner. And in those days, I belonged to the Brentwood town twinning with a German town. When I got to this German town on one of those visits, they managed to give me information about the German army unit that blew my tank up.
Yep.
And ultimately, I was able to meet the man who was the gunner.
Yep.
And he and I met. I forgave him. He forgave me. We were innocent people just put into a position where we had no choice but to do what we did.
Yep.
And that is tragic to my way of thinking.
Yep.
Having said all that, we exchanged gifts, as I said. I forgave him. He forgave me. And I think forgiveness does really hold, for me anyway, an opportunity to show the helplessness of war.
Yeah.
But what can I say? It doesn't seem to have been very successful as an idea, does it? Because
there's lots of war going on. The war's going all over the... depends which ones we get involved in, doesn't it, really, I suppose?
That is right. This book of mine, Venturous Spirits, which has not had much publicity... On the other hand, I think if people realise the content of what I have just expressed, it would show that I was born in King's Lynn, Norfolk. I'm a Norfolk dumpling, for those who know what that means. And my background is from the Thomas Fowle Buxton family, who were well-to-do in Essex back in the 1800s. And they actually came from religious people who today are not very upfront. What religion is upfront that's going to stop war? That has been the puzzle for humanity for centuries.
Yep.
And unfortunately, there's nothing being moved to do anything about it. But in as much as... In my book, I wrote Venturous Spirits without having got to the stage of being able to express myself as I do at present. I have in mind to reprint the book, probably changing the title, I don't know, still me, and putting in these sentiments that have come to me about the background of going to war and why should we and why can't we say no, we won't, and in effect, have peace.
Yeah,
but it's a simplistic idea which is going nowhere. Why? Greed.
Yeah.
General. Power mongering. Things of that nature. Top people who really have got their own personal circumstances to contain and what you might call continue.
Yeah.
And there is nothing really as by way of an incentive for us all to be good.
Yeah.
In as much as we all to be good, from my point of view, comes from outer space. Outer space, from my point of view, again, is cosmic. Out there is all the energy that people and things on Earth living get their energy, outer space.
Yep.
And I call it what you might call cosmic.
Yeah.
Cosmic energy. Nobody can deny that it is cosmic energy. And if we were only to adopt cosmic energy in good ways rather than bad, we'd have a better world.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add a little bit into my next rerun of my Venturous Spirits book about what's come to me since I wrote that book for the purpose of interesting people in what we can do about it. And what we can do about it is just to become good.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to be good. We're all good amongst our families and our children and our friends, aren't we?
Yeah.
And then suddenly we want to take over Germany, or we want to take over France, or we want to take over wherever.
Mm.
Why?
What would have happened if we hadn't have gone to, if we'd have not entered into the war and let Germany, what would have happened to the UK, do you think, if Hitler would have, you know,
it's
taken over the UK?
Question. I do believe that, without feeling big-headed, Britain at large has got great leadership experience and is accepted in that vein. If we had the leadership, then why are we not being able to put over betterment? And I think that ought to be examined as of now.
Hmm.
What can we do for betterment?
Yeah.
I think it's just love each other. Not anything sexual about love. Love for the purpose of everybody being at peace.
Yeah.
It's not too difficult. I'm not giving you difficult phraseology. It's simplistic phraseology and philosophy.
Mm.
But in as much as I think these things, and I've sent out much in the way of emails to all sorts of organizations of people who are into interfaith, which is a great subject in a way, and there are a lot of interfaith organizations across Britain today.
Yep.
But they have no effect on any political decisions. And even the church people, archbishops and all the other types, that they have no influence or have no approach or entry into political thinking.
Mm.
And they can preach all they like in churches and things like that, but it's not effective. What would make it effective?
I think you know, most wars are caused by religion. I don't have a lot of I do meet loads of different people from different religions, obviously, on the radio show, and they all come across to me as being happy people within, so they've got a belief or a faith.
Yeah.
They always seem to me, I don't have any faith at all, but that people who do always seem to be happier.
Yeah.
Within themselves.
I think that's true.
It's just, I think, you know, when you get so many different, I don't know about you, Sylvia, but when you've got the different religions, it does cause the wars. But then, as I was saying, if we hadn't have fought Germany back in those days, what would the UK be like now if Hitler had actually taken over the whole of the UK and he'd have won?
What we were doing in those days for Hitler and for the First World War was resisting their advances.
Yeah.
And that was reasonable. I think you have to, and if you have to fall back on armaments to resist them, that's the way it was, the only defense.
Yep.
See? But having got to that point, there's no change between wars to improve, so you didn't get a Second World War. Or are we on the verge of a Third World War?
Oh, don't.
I think the thing is, back in the Second World War and the First World War, because now we've got the internet and we've got so much, the news is out there. When back in your day, it was all to do with being British, we're going to stand up to Hitler, we're going to do this. It was propaganda thrown at people. You wanted to go and join, people wanted to sign up, they wanted to go to war.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I think if they said we need people to go to war, I don't think many of the young boys of 18 would sign up to the army, because all know, if you look at the First World War with all the poor young soldiers that went over the top and were killed.
We had no choice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 70 years since I had my eye blown out and my teeth blown out, and I've lived amongst you all, notwithstanding.
Mm.
Primarily because I've had a wonderful family.
Yeah. Mm.
They've helped. It isn't what you might call specifically help, but as you're all included as a family, that's the prime purpose.
Yeah.
That's what the ordinary families want to do, is to love each other and go about it peacefully. Mm-hmm. But the politicians and all the other leadership types don't back it into peace. Mm-hmm. They back it into war. And we're on the verge of another one now, aren't we? Mm-hmm. They're talking about Russia going into some other area, and the Americans and the British are going to resist it.
Mm.
That's not the way to go about it. No. I mean, it sounds simplistic for me to say that's not the way to go about it, but on the other hand, where do we start?
How long were you, when you were out in Germany and in the tank, how many weeks or how many months were you there before the tank was blown up? How long were you out there for?
Well, I was out there in 1942 for the Battle of El Alamein in the desert.
Yeah.
And I had damage to my left eye and was invalided back to the hospitals in Cairo. And once that happened, I didn't get any more action, so to speak, until I was moved into Italy with another regiment.
Right.
And at that point, I was a tank driver, Sherman tank driver, brought up on Sherman tanks.
Yep.
Great machine, but killer.
Yep.
Why? So in as much as we went into battle again and were shot out again by German gunfire, the rest is just history that I've been wounded all these years. And thank you very much for the disability pension. It does, except puts a cup of tea on the table, doesn't it?
You said earlier, a glass of
you
wine.
See, you see. So we're looking for prevention of war.
Mm.
And there's armaments to dismiss if we were to be so fortunate. All the other paraphernalia that goes with it has got to be given employment in other matters. These are some of the hurdles. But the investment in capital matters of armaments and warship and all the other killing elements is so great they can hardly make all their employees in those places a new job.
Yeah.
But it could be done.
Right, we're going to come back in a couple of minutes. I've just got to play some ads, and then I'm going to do a bit quick bit of travel. We'll be hearing more from Sylvia. Okay, Sylvia?
Yes.
Sylvia always looks so glamorous, doesn't she? Doesn't
always.
Always.
I nearly nodded off.
Oh, that's not very good for radio.
I could list her attributes unending.
Oh, there we go.
No. Oh, no.
I said attributes.
Right, we'll be back after the ads.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Now I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent with this month's book club, and also Adventure of Spirits writer Reg Haynes, who was born in 1920. I have to say, well, it's born 1920.
Nearly on empty.
That's it.
He likes
now,
that.
You two know each other. How long have you known each other for?
Well, I went...
Years?
Yeah, 1979.
Something like that.
I went into Westminster, and I didn't realise at the time, but Red was my ultimate boss.
Yep.
In that he headed the agency.
And paid you everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Come closer to the microphone, that's it. Yeah. So you worked together in that, because I remember you saying you worked in Westminster before.
Both chambers, yes. Hansard.
And was she very good? I bet she was, wasn't she?
They had to be good in those days. It was called verbatim typing.
Yeah, yes.
So they didn't have... They had to jot down in shorthand, shall we say, everything that these fellows in the MPs were saying.
Yeah.
See, so that's called verbatim typing. They just dismissed all that in Westminster only a month ago.
Wow.
Yes.
They've gone on away from that type of recording into something else I know nothing about. Mm.
But although we had to write rather quickly in shorthand, about 140, it was mainly typing, and we had to hit 100, and it was on those big black old typewriters.
Yeah.
And then we went on to electric, and then electronic, the silver reeds.
Yeah.
And then 1990, we went into computing.
Yeah. But on the old typewriters, you would have had you made a mistake. You'd had to use a bit of Tippex or something to get rid of it. It'd been no good for me. I've used an old typewriter years ago, and I was hopeless. Absolutely hopeless.
But the point was, the reporters were dictating, so it went straight onto the machine, and you had to be good. And they made a face if you misspelt something.
And they had to be fast. There were fast women in my company.
Now, we're joined, as I said, by Reg Haynes, who's got a book called Venturous Spirits, which he's going to hopefully be republished and add some a little bit. So have you heard of cosmic ordering? Have you heard me talking about the cosmos and being out there in the energy?
I didn't know about the cosmic ordering, but I'm going to make a note of that so that I don't go
just
wrong.
Because you were saying about the power from because I tell you who does it. It's Noel Edmonds, who's got a very successful show, as you know, with all the boxes. But he says what you need to do is you write down on a piece of paper the things that you want in life, and then you burn them, and it goes up into that, and then you call out for the power of the cosmos to actually give you the things that you require. And it's called cosmic ordering, and it's meant to be Noel Edmonds.
Oh,
funny enough, Noel Edmonds, who's a TV presenter.
He's quite a character, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
still
written a book.
Alive.
Yeah,
every now and again, he's been doing it for years.
Yep,
he's very clever.
And he's from Brentwood. He was at Brentwood School.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, there we go. That's another connection there.
Another
I didn't
one.
Realise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he apparently, he said, because he had lots of very successful shows and nobody wanted to have him on TV anymore, and then he got back, obviously, with his fantastic show he's got with the boxes and things like that. And, yeah, he said it's worked in his life. He said he believes in there's power out there in the cosmos and you get back. Mm.
Did you say he was a Brentwood man?
Yes.
He went to Brentwood School.
Oh.
And you developed a word, didn't you? Cosmicanity, was it?
Cosmicanity. I've written a book, it's only at the sheets basis at the moment, about 200 words, about cosmic is the whole energy of all we do and everything that grows.
Yep.
So therefore, if we were all not of various religions, but we became cosmicans because that's where the energy is coming from, then us as cosmicans could then talk the same language, never mind all the man-made religions.
Mm.
It's the man-made religions that are the clash, not the cosmic energies that are the clash.
Yep.
We don't make use of the theme of cosmics and cosmicanity. Cosmicanity has the content.
Do you believe, moving slightly away, well, it's kind of slightly away, I mean, I think there are, I always say this, I think there is must be other life in the universe somewhere. There must be.
Yeah.
So, do you, well, and I wonder what would happen. I don't know if it would be in my lifetime, but if we are contacted by maybe the people that made the Earth, who knows, I don't want to get too much into that, but would it change the whole, it must change the whole of religion.
I call it the creator, the cosmic creator. There had to be a creator.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't have to be human, something about which we know nothing. But being from the cosmos, with the cosmic energy, you've got a cosmic creator.
Yeah.
And as a cosmic creator, if we took note of the creator, I'm confident he was not warlike, or she was not warlike.
Yeah. That's God, isn't it, you see? Do you remember when you...
Why do we call it God when it's...
Ah, but don't you remember, when you asked me to do some research for you, I found you 10 different religions, including Buddhism and Hinduism and Sikhism.
Absolutely.
And it all comes back to your God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, it's... very debatable, isn't it?
It's true.
But I found 10 of them, even the peculiar people who have now died out. It comes under evangelical, but that died out in the 50s, and we even found a peculiar person. I know I'm a bit peculiar, but
me too.
But for Reg, you see, and there were so many disciplines that we found, didn't we, Reg?
Yeah, that's
when he was doing his books.
Right, now we're going to have to leave it now because we're just coming up to nearly 11 o'clock and otherwise we'll get cut off. But you'll have to come in again. You're fascinating.
I'd be delighted.
Yeah, be lovely. Come in again.
I'd like to drum it up into something which is doable, which is in everybody's capacity.
Yeah.
Right? Up to now they put it into one word, love. But it doesn't quite get to the point. It's too broad.
Yeah.
However, the cosmic energy is permanent, it's there, and we could make better use of it than we're doing up to now.
Now, you can find out more. Reg's book, it's Reg Haynes. It's Venturous Spirits, Spanning the 20th Century. You can get that at all good bookshops. And the lovely Sylvia.
Thank you.
You can't buy you at the bookshop. Sorry, I should finish that sentence.
Wouldn't want me.
You can get Barking and Dagenham from old photographs. That's Sylvia's 10th book, which was launched on the 28th of October. You can get that as well.
May I also say that Reg is a male associate of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists. And we've only got 10 men. Got 500 women, but he plays.
No. You did quite well then, Reg.
outnumbered.
But he plays his part.
Yeah,
and we love him.
Lovely, thank you. Well, thank you very much for both joining me. I'll see you again next month, and hopefully you'll be back in again,
Reg. Thanks for having us on.
Lovely, really nice to meet you. Very interesting.
All the best.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Right, just coming to 11:58. We'll just do. Here's Maximo Park with Shiver.
Oh, thank you.